2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. If you're not signed up with us yet, now is a good time to do so. Use the promo code WIN, W-I-N, and get 7 free days of the DFS Army and all the tools that we have to go along with it. If you like what we do here, you're not signed up yet, also use the podcast. Get 20% off each month of your monthly subscription there. Both great deals, but always check us out, DFSArmy.com, all your DFS needs. I'm your host, Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter at 14a.walsh. Find Keith Hall on Twitter as well at BoomersDFSDaddy. So we haven't done one of these in over a week now. Good to be back. We're just like how America was on the one-day work schedule before 4th of July. We get one more podcast out before the All-Star break, and we're off again.
Yeah, no kidding. It's a nice little break that's coming up it'll be all next week. A couple announcements here, real quick, and then we'll get into a little bit of a rant because I'm sure you've got something that you want to touch on. There won't be a pod unless you get a guest host. There won't be a pod next Friday. I will be actually wait. No, I'm not leaving till that afternoon. Scratch that, nix that, reverse rewind.
I'm back on the schedule.
We're back on the schedule because I'm not leaving till that afternoon. I'll be spending next weekend in Dallas at the National Fantasy Football Conference. With our buddy Adam Wagner. So if you're in Texas, make sure you get on out there and you stop by and say hi. It'll be the Wagner Wire, which is a great podcast, the DFS Army. So we'll be out there. Guys like Matt Berry, Stefania Bell, it's huge. They've been gearing up for this thing for basically 3 years. So nice. Hopefully we can get some guests on. We're going to do a couple spots there. And going to have a lot of fun. So that's where we'll be next weekend. So I will be touching in and out of Slack, but I won't be keeping up to date with the lineups page. So we'll work something out with that. Podcast schedule going forward, because we are diving into NFL here coming up, will be if there is a split slate like Thursdays, there will not be a podcast. Just because we play in the mornings and we play in the afternoons, and then to make lineups while trying to do a podcast is not ideal, and it is basically just us wasting our money. So we will not be doing that. And then if there's more than or if there's less than like 6 games on a slate, there won't be a podcast.
So, podcast denied.
It's got to be 7 or more for there to be a podcast, because then I think we're just beating a dead horse.
Sure. And, you know, as always, you'll have the content, the materials all day. So, if you can't hear our beautiful voices, just imagine them when you're reading our material.
Yes, because we are – make no mistake about it. Money – or baseball is awesome, but football's our moneymaker. We will still continue to provide baseball content throughout the rest of the season. We've got to, in order for us to be able to, because it's all hands on deck for NFL. In order for us to be able to give you all the quality content that we do provide through NFL, which is basically second to none,
first to none, or second. So yeah, second to none. I get none.
So that means
I get the saying now.
We've got to be able to, kind of study. I'll be spending the whole 5-hour car ride down to Dallas listening to NFL information and podcasts and stuff like that. So it's coming, it's here, and we're gearing up for it. We'll give you guys more of a schedule of what NFL is going to be like as we get closer and we figure it out ourselves. There's going to be a lot of different types of shows. We're going to be bringing in some new voices, hopefully, and having a lot of cool stuff go on. So it's not that we're backing off on baseball. All the content's still going to be there, all the written content. It's just as far as the actual podcasts, we've got to set some parameters instead of running around like little chickens with our heads cut off. So,
for sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, in terms of my content anyway, most of it will be on the baseball side. But, you know, as a person, you got to think too. I think everybody's here for football as well. I think at least everybody that started out here, or most people anyway, started out for football and then, you know, just kept course with us as we did that. So we appreciate that. But yeah, I will not let baseball go untouched. If anything, we're going to have so many people writing for football that, you know, I might as well just focus my attention there. And I believe that's what I will do. So, you know, fear not, folks, fear not.
Yeah. And just to let everybody know, the last 2 years or the last year in August and September, we have absolutely crushed baseball. So
baseball.
We have absolutely crushed it because while everybody's diving their attention into NFL, the guys that come in and play, you know, and we see this in basketball too, but the guys that come in and they start, you know, mulling around for NFL, they want to throw their money in for MLB and they haven't been playing all year. So we start to gain where, you know, June and July are kind of, I don't want to say, or, you know, May, June, July, they're kind of, you know, it's a little tougher. If you've been like surviving or holding your head above water, don't get frustrated. Don't back out now because August is fantastic because people, the actual industry starts, you know, growing a little bit, the users, the tournament sizes will start growing. And going into September with September call-ups, this is where we've absolutely just start crushing it because we know the minor leagues better than probably anybody else.
Yeah, especially
at least I do. I don't know how.
Speak
your
for yourself, man.
Whoa. I don't know how your knowledge of the West Coast minor leagues goes.
Yeah, it's irrelevant. I pretty much East Coast. I know some stuff over here, but you know, just from listening to different people. I mean, I do have a subscription to ESPN Insider, so I basically it's like the equivalent of sleeping at a Holiday Inn Express. So.
I mean, for sports, sort of.
So. As we do this podcast today, I come to you 1 year older from the last time that we did it. And I got to tell
you.
No,
you're not. You're only a couple days.
Well, fuck off. So, that kind of does make me feel better. But, you know, ruining my speech here. But, no. So, to be turning Larry Bird this season, the double three, it's already affected my wisdom on the golf course. I shot the second best score of my amateur career with a 93. On Wednesday. So that was pretty awesome to have that. And then I also am feeling the bodily effects of it as well. So this age thing is no joke. I know. I always feel like I got an uncle.
We're exactly a month apart.
Yeah.
July 5th, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm August 5th.
You're about to start feeling these aches and pains. I know.
Dude, I woke up feeling the aches and pains this morning. Like my back is like tight or something under my left shoulder and I can't figure out why.
Yeah. I just got to turn into that old guy that gets the red convertible and picks up young chicks. Like, not now. This is when I turn into, like, my 50s and 60s is what I'm saying. Because, if I'm feeling like this now at 33, I gotta start prepping up, man. Like, absolutely no weight program, no cardio, no nothing going on. Just a lot of ice cream, cookies, pizza, beer, that kind of thing. So, in my older days, I know I got to, you know, get things back on track here.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to keep going. Keep plugging away, and that's what we like to do.
I always told myself, when I hit 200 pounds, man, that's when I'm going to pick it up. Well, here we are at about 218, and yeah, no plans for
anything. I'm not far behind you. I'm at like – I was at 218. But I've – my wife – it's crazy, but my wife's got this – this new stuff that we're doing, and it's actually helped us both out.
Keep it PG.
No. It's a supplement line.
Oh, okay.
it's called Plexus, and she's lost like 15 inches.
Nice.
Since she started doing it, and I've lost like 20 pounds. So.
Nice. See, I like how you say it for the female inches, and then for you, you go pounds, just so nobody, you know. Nobody got the misconception there when you were talking about inches.
Well, I haven't lost inches.
Gotcha.
Like, I still wear the same. I like
just
my
saying, Irish guys like myself, we can't afford to be losing any inches.
No kidding. My pant size are, you know, I still fit in the same pant size. They're just not as tight. So I might have lost like, you know, a couple, but
yeah.
Most of it's been pounds and most of it's been in my gut. So
I knew, because wearing shorts a lot over the last couple weeks. Yeah, you know, there's a couple of pairs on there where I can't even do the top button, so that's okay. That's how far I have come.
Yep. So, but anyways, we got MLB to go.
We do. Not full. 13 game slate today. You got your Cubs game out there, and then also the Phillies got an early game.
Yeah,
today,
what's with that?
I don't know, man.
It's like they're trying to be Cleveland or something.
If I'm not, maybe a fireworks show. I should know this about my own team, but
good job. Way to stay.
Yeah. Well, no. What do you want me to do? Right. I've been to two of their games, including Sunday in Citi Field. Got the W. That was pretty awesome. But yeah, let's start out with this one today. Now with a 13 game slate, I already saw some interesting things here on the Vegas lines to dig into, but you know, your guys going up against Derek Holland today. I mean, that should kick off the stacks, and I think everybody in this game's in play, even going up against Germán Márquez. So I've got it listed as a game stack here, but interested to hear your thoughts.
I'm not going game stack. Chicago is absolutely horrible versus right-handed pitching. In fact, if you go back to the last 30 days, they've only got a 324 wOBA. And I say only because we've got guys like we've got teams at like 383 and 353. And
Sure.
But they've got a 324 wOBA with a 156 ISO and a 20.9% strikeout rate. Yeah, I'm not going there. I have no, you know, other than a couple one-offs.
Yeah, I have one major interest point, but we'll get there later.
this is a team that over the course of the season has been much, much better versus left-handed pitching. Germán Márquez isn't a strikeout-type guy. He can get them, but he's only going to get like four or five. But this is a team that has not been hitting the ball well, especially against right-handed pitching. If you sit there and look at it, over the last 30 days, you've got guys like, Tim Anderson, 157 ISO or 157 wOBA. Alan Hansen, who probably is going to be in that leadoff spot, only a 114 ISO. I mean, from everything that it looks like, there's going to be good grades, but Matt Anderson's not, you know, hasn't been hitting the ball well. Kevin Smith is slotted to be the projected catcher. I'm not worried about that. Yomer Sanchez is decent, but not great. I'm just worried about Melky, Jose, and Todd Frazier in there, and even Wiley Garcia. I mean, but I don't see them paying off as a stack. Maybe a mini stack, like Abreu and Frazier, if you're not going to go with a Todd Helton or even a Willie Garcia or a Melky Cabrera in there. But yeah, I'm just not. I don't feel confident about this being a game stack type.
Well, like, I mean, the guys that you mentioned, like who you pretty much have to stay away from, everybody's going to have some, you know, significant upgrade to power. Melky Cabrera, I'll just let the cat out of the bag. That's the guy that I really like. He's been hot lately. So if you get him, maybe like a Todd Frazier, a Abreu, that sort of thing, I feel like that'll work a lot better. But yeah, of course the White Sox suck, you know, as a team against right-handed pitching. But, and it's not going to help matters today with them batting the pitcher. I'm sure Derek Holland has taken a couple extra BP swings, but, you know, obviously nothing to be afraid of there. And then with your guys going up against the lefty Holland, of course, Arenado has the great numbers against lefties. Even Charlie Blackmon, a sneaky fella in there as well against the lefties. So, yeah, there's certainly plenty to go at in that game. The other game that's very interesting here today, too, Milwaukee Brewers at the New York Yankees. Brewers still in first place there in the NL Central. Yankees with the resurgent year after a couple, you know, just inactive periods. But this game actually started out with an 11 total. It's come down to 10.5. It is raining here currently in the Jersey area, so not sure how that's going to affect things tonight. But again, the Brewers have been very good against left-handed pitching. So, you know, they're going to get Montgomery tonight, who is a good pitcher, but, you know, again, the ballpark could still yield a couple home runs.
Yeah, I've heard some people say, you know, Jordan Montgomery is a sneaky pitcher. I don't see it. This is a team that, you know, and the Milwaukee Brewers is just absolutely crushing left-handed pitching. I'm looking right now. I think, isn't Jordan Montgomery a reverse splits guy?
Not 100% positive.
I'm pulling some stuff up right now. Let me see here. So versus righties, Jordan Zimmerman. I'm sorry.
I looked up the wrong one, didn't you?
No, because
I
didn't
the same
include,
exact thing.
It didn't include Montgomery in there.
It had to have. Maybe we put the wrong name. Well, whatever the case may be, again, I still think a lot of these Brewers are still going to have good pop tonight. And then don't forget Junior Guerra going for the Brewers. He's been getting slapped around lately too. The two-pitch specialist, I don't think that's going to work out too well in Yankee Stadium. Yankees already minus 200 favorites. You know, again, this is just an excellent spot for them.
Okay, so here it is. Jordan Montgomery has a 298 WOBA with a 28.6% hard contact and a 23.7% strikeout rate. He has allowed 9 home runs to right-handed batters. However, versus lefties, and this could be where they're thinking about it. He's not a reverse splits guy. What the heck are these guys talking? Okay, so yeah, I hate forget that. They're yeah.
Somebody
whatever.
Just got scolded on air.
Somebody has no idea what they're talking about because Jordan Montgomery is not a reverse splits guy. This is what I get for listening to other people. Or
now is this competition radio / podcast or in the chat?
Competition radio /
podcast. Okay, all right. I didn't want to have to, you know, hey, I want to have to go in the room and be like, hey, putting out misinformation.
Yeah, I'm not worried about
it. Cool, man.
I'm not worried about it. Let people go with Jordan Montgomery. I think I'll stick to the Milwaukee bats that have been pretty hot lately.
All right. In my mind, I didn't have too many other game stack theories, but and any one of those you like?
Not really as far as game stacks.
I mean, come
on,
Cleveland
Detroit.
That's Cardinals game stack with DeGrom Martinez.
Yeah, no kidding. This Cleveland Detroit game is interesting to me just because Detroit's kind of owned Carlos Carrasco over the course of his career, and Cleveland's been hot. I'm worried about what they're. I don't think we're going to have to worry so much about ownership, but. You know, they have been hot. So as far as game stacks, that would probably be one that I would go to as well. Other than that, no, not really.
I guess we could throw Orioles Twins in there, but I do like some of the stack.
No.
What do you mean no?
I mean no.
Why no?
Because I'm not the Orioles suck. Like they are horrible right now. Like
Twins pitching sucks.
Huh?
Twins pitching sucks.
Really?
Yeah.
That's why they're competing for the Central Division. They're not as bad as people think they are.
I think it's more of the offense.
Now, let's put it this way. When they blow up, they blow up. I'm not saying that. But it doesn't matter because the only players on the freaking Orioles that can hit right now are Jonathan Scope and Seth Smith.
Okay.
So
when
I
we
mean,
get to third base, you're going to see significant discount. And look, and I get it.
I know the discount.
A team like the Twins can get the Orioles back where they need to be.
I know the discount. I see the discount, and I understand the discount. But the discount doesn't help you if he's going 2-for-4 with two singles.
No, it doesn't. But, look, I mean, look, we saw the Orioles have a pretty decent night offensively last night. It's certainly possible. And the guy, and that's a, going against Berrios, okay? Now, tonight, I'm not too sure about this Jorge guy that's on the mound for the Twins. But, again, I love this spot for the Orioles tonight. And, again, with everything that you're saying, that's fine. A lot of other people are probably going to be off of that. But, nonetheless, still a good spot. Why? Like, they're favored -130 in Vegas today, you know? Vegas knows they suck
just
as much as we do.
And Vegas has been completely off.
All right, we'll
see. And I think that I don't think that has to do with the Baltimore offense. I think that has everything to do with Kevin Gausman.
He had one good start.
No. Go back and look.
All right, the guy still has a 1.74 WHIP this season. There's nothing good about that. It's the last two starts.
Yeah, but if you go back and you look at it, he just came back. He has fixed whatever the deal was.
Yeah, his last three starts, he's done fine. But before that, that's why he still has a 1.74 WHIP. Not
yeah,
good.
Because he was so putrid.
He's not going to be great for the rest of the season. Okay, like I understand his last two starts. I mean, again, you can't take that away. Two of them, he has 9 strikeouts. But, again, this is the Twins here. I understand. Look, he did this against what? The Indians, the Blue Jays, and the Rays. I mean, the Indians is impressive. That's impressive. But the other two.
And the Rays are a pretty good team against right-handed pitching, if I'm not mistaken.
They are.
And the Toronto Blue Jays over the last month have been a lot better. And say what you want, that's still a dangerous lineup as far as power. And it was in Toronto.
Yeah, I get that.
I'm saying I think people are going to go to the Twins and blindly pick on Kevin Gausman, and I would rather go to the other end and play Kevin Gausman.
I love how you're sticking up for him now.
I mean, you can't argue with what he's done. Whatever he's figured out, and you know, pitchers go on streaks just like hitters, but whatever he's figured out, okay, is worked for him. This is the guy that we saw last year, and I think the Twins are a trap. Now, I think there's a couple good one-offs possibly. Let's see, Kevin Gausman. There's not a lot of significant BVP against him, so you can't go that route. You know, if you want to go with, like, a Max Kepler, who's been swinging the bat well, or an Eddie Rosario, I wouldn't fault you. I could understand it, but those are probably the only two. But still, I mean, that's only doing it if you're playing Scherzer and you need some value, because they're the cheapest ones that you're going to probably want to play, other than maybe a whole... Well, you don't even want to play Jason Castro. So, I mean, that's where I would go, but that would be probably about it.
Yeah. Sano, 3,500. Dozier, 3,400. Not breaking your bank. Grossman, 3,000. Escobar, 2,900.
I mean, yeah,
they're
fairly priced. I'm not saying that. I just don't think. I think
you got drunk eyes with Gausman.
No,
you know,
I
like,
don't.
It's your,
I'm
it's
looking
final hour
at
the bar, and you're, oh man, she's pretty.
No,
you know?
What I'm looking at is the fact that okay, maybe he was off at the beginning of the year, whether he was hurt or something was wrong with the delivery, but whatever it is, over the last three starts, he's fixed it. Now, this could all blow up in my face. I'm not saying that it can't. You know. He's definitely got the ability to go out there and blow up. That's not what I'm not saying. But what I'm saying is like, I think people are just going to blindly try to pick on Kevin Gausman due to the season numbers. And I don't think that's a good way to go.
Mom. I feel like I have to do a Baltimore Minnesota stack just to be like, ha!
You'll see. I mean, the dude's got a 358 BABIP on the season. You don't think that's going to come down a little bit?
I don't know. BABIP's not exactly, you know. Again, you know me. I don't get too much into the fancy stats. You know, I just like the ones that are out there on the surface.
But when you're talking about a league average being anywhere between 3 to 310, maybe even on the high end 315, that's a huge difference, and that's going to come down. So
it could.
No, it will eventually. It could.
All right, let's talk about some pitchers that actually matter for once in our lives. My favorite today, Max Scherzer, -280 of the Nationals going up against the Braves tonight. I mean, 280 is one of those numbers that you can't ignore. I understand that Scherzer is very much so expensive on, you know, pretty much all these other sites tonight. But, you know, again, I think there are so many pitching options. People are just going to automatically go to a DeGrom or a C-Mart, a couple of these other guys. But, again, I understand that it's paying up to be contrarian. We talk about this all the time. And, you know, Vegas loves them some Nationals tonight. Only an 8-run total on this one as well.
Yeah, you don't see teams in the summer under a 3-run total, and that's kind of where it is. But can I play devil's advocate for a second?
Oh, you go right ahead.
So Tyler Flowers has 7 strikeouts, and Nick Markakis has 7 strikeouts against him, but that's in 43 plate appearances, okay?
Okay.
Matt Kemp has 11, which is putrid. That's just absolutely horrible. But when you're looking at this, Freddie Freeman, he's, you know, usually attractive at the ballpark, you know, lefty versus right.
He's a handsome man.
He's a very handsome man. Had a couple of hits left on left versus Gio last night. You know, he's only got a 250 average. He's 3-for-12 with 3 strikeouts. He does have a home run, but not overly impressive. Other than that, you've got guys that you wouldn't even think of. Danny Santana owns a 417 average. Kurt Suzuki, 333. Tyler Flowers, 313. Nick Markakis, 282 with 4 doubles. Ender Inciarte, 273. It's not a given that Scherzer gets through this lineup scot-free tonight. And I'm not saying that you should fade Scherzer because of this. I mean, definitely he's the best pitcher on the slate. But when you've got guys like Jacob DeGrom, Carlos Martinez, Carlos Carrasco, Zach Greinke, you've got all these high-quality pitchers, and you've got some underpriced pitchers in later games going. Yeah, you understand and realize the risk of fading Scherzer. I mean, he could go out there and throw up 10-plus Ks, allow 2 runs, and go 8 innings. But I wouldn't mind maybe not a stack, but a couple of these cheap one-offs. If you notice, FanDuel recently has been decreasing prices against, like, aces like Kershaw and Scherzer.
Right.
If you notice, FanDuel didn't do that against the Braves.
Yeah.
For the Braves today.
That's funny. I noticed that last night, too.
So
I didn't write it down, but I remember remembering it.
Maybe a one-off like a Nick Markakis or a Tyler Flowers or Kurt Suzuki, whichever one's in there. Maybe even an Ender Inciarte. That could be – I don't want to say it could be the thing that puts you over the top. But in some of these larger field tournaments as a one-off, they're going to be 0% owned. So I don't think I'm going to have a lot of Scherzer tonight. I'll have a couple, but I don't think I'm going to have a lot of it just because you can't play Scherzer and Coors.
Okay.
At least in the same lineup.
No, I mean, there are some spots that you can go to, even if you don't go to Coors. I think you can still get plenty of cheaper bats to fill in there. A lot of the Indians are very cheap, so that's a way you can go.
Yeah,
well.
I'm not saying that you can't get good bats around Scherzer. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is like, I don't know if I want to. I don't know if I want to pay 13-2 on DraftKings for him. If I do have exposure to him, I think it's going to be on FanDuel.
Well,
where he's only 12-4. So I think that's where I would probably go to him more. I don't think I'm going to play him on DraftKings. Sorry.
Well, here's the interesting thing. Scherzer has only allowed 2 hits in each of his last 3 starts. That's amazing. And then I believe only no more than 5 base runners in any of these last 3 starts as well for Scherzer. Keep in mind, since his last start against the Braves, which was that rain-shortened outing where he only went 5 innings, got 24 FanDuel points, since that start, he has averaged 61.8 FanDuel points, and that's over 8 starts. Keep
I
all
would
that
probably – he just – and what do we always talk about with Scherzer? Like, what's the one thing that's his downfall probably?
The long ball.
The long ball. He makes up for it with the amount of strikeouts that he gets. Don't sure. get me wrong. But, I mean, when you're sitting here looking at it, Ender Inciarte has only struck out 3 times in 12 plate appearances. Okay. But he's got 2 extra base hits. I mean, the dude sees him well. He's 5-17 or 5-12 against him. I mean, Nick Markakis in 43 plate appearances only has 7 strikeouts.
Yes, I see that. And you got to think, too, you know, a lot of this, you know, could have been at some point, you know, earlier. But again, I can't help but think of what Vegas is saying here with the minus 280 on the money line. It's just, it's too high. It's too telling. And the 8-run total with it makes me a believer.
Add in the other side of that, though.
We did. We just talked about it.
No.
Add like
in
5
other,
minutes.
The Washington Nationals. No. The Washington Nationals offense versus R.A. Dickey. I mean, that's where some of this money line is probably coming from. Now, granted, Scherzer makes up a huge portion of it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that Scherzer is a bad play. I'm just saying with every as the slate in a whole, with a guy like Jacob deGrom on the mound, that is $1,400 cheaper on FanDuel and could realistically match him, right?
Right, yeah.
I mean, I'm finding it very, very hard it would be a lot easier to play Scherzer if deGrom wasn't on the mound tonight.
Okay.
Against a team that has no idea what they're doing and what kind of lineup they're throwing out.
All right, that's fair. Let's talk about DeGrom, second on the list today. He goes head-to-head with Carlos Martinez at Busch Stadium. Look, both guys fit the bill. DeGrom has 52 FanDuel points in 4 straight starts, including 64 last time out against my Phillies. You know, Seymour's on the opposite end. He's coming off one of his worst outings of the season. He got rocked around by the Nationals in that ESPN Sunday game where he was going head-to-head with Scherzer. He is 4-2 with the 2.42 ERA, though, this season at Busch Stadium. And, of course, that's after getting clubbed by the Nationals there last time. So, man, I do think a lot higher of DeGrom in this one. According to Vegas, they have this as Martinez and the Cardinals favorite at -120. 7.5 run total. I'm not gonna put too much stock in that St. Louis money line there, but 7.5.
Doesn't that seem backwards to you?
Not really. I'm sure people are just gonna take a look at Seymour's last start and you know, and just be like, oh, well, that's it. He's washed. No, I mean, you look at Seymour's starts. They're all like very consistent this season, right around the you know, the mid 40s, the 50s even. A couple starts there with Martinez. So, again, you know, one misnomer against one of the best offenses in baseball really isn't a big deal to me.
Right. No, I'm not saying. And that's another reason why it's so hard to kind of play Scherzer is because, you know, you've got Carlos Martinez going on there. But, oh, man, I've got a little bit of – and I love Carlos Martinez. Like, he's one of my favorite pitchers in the big leagues. I play him all the time. I've been playing him for years.
Goes over to Keith's house for dinner once a month.
Yeah, no kidding. I think I like Jay Bruce and Lucas Duda as a mini stack against him, though.
Yeah, left-handed bats, definitely the way to go against Seymour.
And it looks like the weather is going to be around 90 degrees. They're at game time, so not too terribly hot. It's already 90 degrees here in Oklahoma, on it working on its way up to 100 today. So, yeah, that's probably where I'd go. Is there? Just on FanDuel, I'm worried a lot about him getting the win. I know it's not as important, but those 4 points do make up a huge thing. And the reason I say that is because, I mean, one, you've got DeGrom going on the other side, but the St. Louis lineup is like a who's who of throwing the darts at a dartboard and picking one out of the hat. I mean, Mike Matheny literally has no idea what he's – the only thing that you can count on right now is Carpenter or Pham at 1 and 2 and Molina in the 5 spot.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's like a – what is that, roulette game? He just starts pulling Russian names roulette. out of a hat. So, really, DraftKings, that was your big announcement, was WNBA –
Boo! I'm sorry, ladies, but your basketball's terrible. Yeah, that just happened. So, I like a lot of these Cardinals. It's just, you know, just not.
Kyle Walsh's views are not a revelation of the DFS Army and how we feel about WNBA basketball.
I mean, come on, only one person can dunk. Let's get real here.
Brittany Griner.
Yeah, look, I like a lot of these Cardinals bats regularly, but against DeGrom tonight, you know, they're certainly going to take a back seat. But again, I love at the top of that lineup there with Tommy Pham. He's been great. And then Grichuk as well, ever since he's gotten back from the minor leagues, just been the man.
DeGrom, he's only faced three guys on this team, Grichuk, Molina, and Carpenter. And it was he's faced Carpenter the most, and Carpenter's 2 for 9. I don't know. I think DeGrom is going to be very, very, very low owned tonight.
I don't think so. I think, you know, he'll carry a significant ownership just because I have a feel like
on the Cardinals, though, man.
Yeah, but it's going to be DeGrom, and I feel like a lot of people are going to need somebody to try and match Scherzer with if they don't go all the way up there. But I see your point, too. What about James Paxton tonight against the Oakland A's? Got him rated pretty highly, and the A's only have one hitter above 300 this season with at least 10 at-bats, of course, against left-handed pitching. And that guy is Ryan Healy, who's on the disabled list. Everybody has just been terrible. Yes, he is.
No, he's not. I played him last night.
What the hell, man?
He sure? Better not be on the disabled list. Otherwise, we got some issues with the DK scoring.
Did he just get off?
I could have swore. Because I had a Houston or a Oakland stack last night.
He just came back yesterday. But he wasn't on the disabled list. I got some bad information somewhere. My fault.
Paternity list?
Hey, look, I've been away from the game for like 2-3 days. So, was it? Back spasms? Yeah, back spasms. I thought he was on the DL. I saw it somewhere. And then
Matt Chapman. Yeah, I played Ryan Healy. He had a walk yesterday.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I mean, he didn't do a lot, but he swung the bat. He had a walk.
All right. All right, well then.
Well, you scared me because I thought I missed something.
No, you scared me, man. If he's the only one there in the lineup that you have to worry about, then that's not a bad idea. I mean, Paxton has come back in his last three outings, 35, 43, 31 FanDuel points. Not the greatest, but, you know, he was in a huge lull for a while. So I like this one tonight. Not the most confident I've ever been in Paxton, but the numbers do match up for him.
Yeah, I mean, the batted ball profile matches up. I think he's kind of underpriced. The only thing that scares me is Chris Davis. That's just because he can hit the ball hard and far, and I like playing guys like that. If Paxton turns out to be chalk, and I think he will be a little bit on DraftKings because I think he's a little bit underpriced. I mean, he's cheaper than Drew Pomeranz, for crying out loud. I think that that's a big counterplay that I might do in tournaments is a one-off of Chris Davis. Because I can see him double-donging tonight.
Sure. I mean, he's not, I mean, again, not that great against left-handed pitching, but I think, I mean, you know me, I'm a big Chris Davis fan. He's got some monster outputs here over the last couple days, but I don't know. I'm not a big fan
Ryan Healy is 4-for-6 with 3 singles and a double against him and zero strikeouts.
Oh, my.
But here's
the good thing he's not on the disabled list.
Well, here's what I was talking about with Chris Davis. His average exit velocity against Ryan Healy in 3 batted ball events is 95.8. So he still hits him hard. He just hasn't had a lot of, like, results and success against him. But I don't know. I might have to look into previous matchups, you know, with instead of just the BVP, previous matchups with these guys. I like it right now a lot. Like, it makes all the sense in the world. But I also like the other pitcher in this game.
Yeah, that's not a bad one. We've seen the Mariners struggle against lefties. I do like Manaea. I didn't have him in the write-up today just because I didn't want to put too many pitchers down. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Manaea's had his, you know, his good outings there. But, you know, again, also the bad ones, too.
Oh, my.
I will say, though.
One thing that we do have to make sure we mention is Marcus Semien is back. You can't play him on FanDuel today.
Why?
Because he's a pitcher. But you can play him on DraftKings. Yeah, I saw that this morning. But over the last 30 days, Jed Lowry has a 438 ISO versus left-handed pitching.
Yeah, I just right on the FanDuel page it says Marcus Semien is erroneously listed as a pitcher. I never read what they have in that yellow bar there.
I always just X out of it. I don't even have it on my screen. So,
all right, fair enough. Zach Greinke tonight, home going against the Reds. No. He is 8-0 with a 2.67 ERA and 10 starts at Chase Field this season. You do get him at a little bit of a discount, but again, Reds lineup not exactly the best one to pick on.
Yeah, I'm off of Greinke tonight. Joey Votto absolutely just owns him.
Yes, one man.
12-for-20. Okay. I mean, Zach Cozart probably is not going to be in the lineup tonight. I think that Peraza and Scooter Jeanette are going to be there. Scooter. One of his many revenge games. Adam Duvall's hitting the ball hard. Scott Schebler's always got, you know, double dong potential. Joey Votto is my top first baseman of the day.
Interesting.
I love it. I'm not gonna play Greinke tonight. As of right now.
Okay.
I'm sitting here thinking of it. I'm trying to figure out what could turn me on. The only thing that could turn me on to Greinke is probably Votto not being in the lineup, but I don't see that happening. Just because Votto can do so much, he can hurt you with the walk. He can hurt you with a bloop single. Greinke's pretty good at holding runners on. So I'm not going to go to the Billy Hamilton side of things. Scooter Jeanette over the last 30 days versus right-handed pitching has got over a 360 ISO. Adam Duvall's got over a 300 ISO. Scott Schebler, 258 ISO. This is a very, very good hitting team, and they're not getting that big of a ballpark decrease coming right out of Coors, and they're cheaper now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Cincinnati's an interesting tournament stack.
All right. Diamondbacks are minus 195 with the over-under total of 9 in that game, keep in mind.
Which is a pretty low total for Chase.
Indeed. And when we get to the end of the pitchers, I got another theory here. Carlos Carrasco up against the Tigers tonight.
Yes.
I know you said the Tigers have some pretty good numbers against them.
Very good.
Okay, but
more specifically, like, 3 out of the 4 guys you would think of.
Okay. This season against the Tigers, though, he is 2-1 with a 2.29 ERA spanning over 19.2 innings. He does have at least 7 strikeouts in his last 4 outings. Still not interested.
Probably not.
Okay. Drew Pomeranz against the Rays. The Rays have had their struggles against lefty pitching. Corey Dickerson is actually the best Rays hitter against left-handed pitching this season, but he has struggled against Pomeranz with 6 Ks in 12 appearances. Any interest in Pomeranz tonight?
Maybe a little bit, just because Tampa Bay is so bad against left-handed pitching. When you sit there and you look at it, actually, they've been a lot better lately. They still do strike out a lot, 25.6% of the time over the last 30 days, but they've got a 338 wOBA and a 205 ISO, which is very interesting. I didn't expect that. Sitting here looking at it, that's got to be that a lot of that's got to be in line with the return of Wilson Ramos, correct?
I would assume so, yes.
Homers
already.
Yeah, he had a bomb line. He went up there and said, "All right, Sale, I'm swinging at the first pitch. I'm swinging at every pitch. If you get me, great, but I'm not going to get cheated." And he still, went, bing, bing,
who,
bing.
By the way, is still only 2,500 on FanDuel. No respect for the GIMP. None. The last one that I had today, Tim Adelman against the Diamondbacks. Interesting because we've seen Adelman come out with some pretty good starts before. He's had decent strikeout totals, at least 7 in 3 of his last 6 starts. Again, we said that 9 run totals a bit low for Chase Field. And you got to think about the Diamondbacks. They just dropped 2 heartbreakers in a row to the Dodgers. Are they going to be in it emotionally with the All-Star break coming up soon? So, for Adelman, this is for SB2. This is not for your lone guy on FanDuel, but any interest here in Adelman?
Maybe as an SB2. In tournaments, like large field tournaments, qualifiers, something like that. He is cheap, 5,600. But I don't like picking on the Diamondbacks in Phoenix.
No, definitely not. But again, this is the allure of the GPP player.
I think I would rather go to Jason Hamill at 53 against the Dodgers.
Well, that's interesting. And by the way, that
go up to Germán Márquez at 57. Or even Aaron Sanchez at 61. I mean, actually, I think if I'm going down, it would be Jason Hamill against the Dodgers at 53.
Gotcha. Which you reminded me, by the way, we didn't talk about the individual team stacks, but I did have the Dodgers on there going up against Hamill. Hamill's been pretty terrible this season. He's come back down. Well, he had a pretty good, stretch of starts there in June, but he is starting to come back to earth over his last 2 starts. So a lot of these lefty bats of the Dodgers, I feel like, could get to him. Did you have any individual team stacks that you want to talk about?
I mean, most of my stacks today are individual, and I think I kind of went over that because only had like 1 game stack, which was that Detroit-Cleveland game.
All right, fair enough. All right, let's talk about – we'll go position by position real quick with the players. You mentioned Wilson Ramos before against Sale. He's up against another lefty tonight. Again, 2,500 on FanDuel. I don't know where else you could possibly go.
The only other place that I would possibly go would be Mike Zunino or Manny Pena.
Yep.
I mean, Ryan Hannigan against Derek Holland, but he's not as cheap. I'm not paying over $3,000 for catcher tonight.
Fair enough. JT Realmuto, by the way, pretty good numbers against left-handed pitching. He's been one of the hotter hitters lately.
Yep, and Russell Martin is hot.
Yes, he is. Kurt Suzuki, also, by the way, you want to get jiggy with it. 5-for-15 with the homer against Scherzer. He'll be minimum price.
Tyler Flowers has got good BVP against him, too. So both of those catchers. Now, Flowers is 3,100, so you would much rather have Suzuki in that lineup to get the discount. Right. But both of them, I think, are pretty good plays. That's probably the highest I would go is 3,100 on FanDuel. But most of my catching options are and I'm going to have a lot of Manny Pena if he's in that lineup against Jordan Montgomery. And it's going to be on FanDuel because he's 2,400 on FanDuel where he's 3,700 on DraftKings. So
nice. All right, first baseman with Dickey on the mound. Ryan Zimmerman has owned him, 14 for 39, six extra base hits, four of those homers, two of them coming this season against Dickey.
Weren't they both in the same game, too?
No, I think they were one in each game, but, you know, you're probably not going to be wrong if what you said's right.
Yeah, I can't remember, but
you might be. Well, guess what? One of us will be right. So
yeah, I like that. If you want to get jiggy with it and save some money on a discount, as my buddy Al Walsh says, Jesus Aguilar on FanDuel is still on 2100.
Yes.
So I think that's a good way to go. And don't discount Ji-Min Choi if he's in that lineup for the Yankees. Switch hitter, so he's probably going to be able to do it.
2200 on FanDuel.
Yeah, 2200 on FanDuel. First base is an interesting, like, it's loaded.
Right.
But it's loaded from top to bottom. And it's a very, very, very good tournament move sometimes to just punt it, because you can get double dong power out of guys like Jesus Aguilar. Go from there. And it gives you a completely different roster construction. Now, I do think that a popular play, especially if Aguilar's in that cleanup spot on FanDuel, is going to be a Max Scherzer, Jesus Aguilar combo, because it'll help offset some of the cost of Scherzer. You can't do it on DraftKings, though. But like I said, Joey Votto is my top-rated first baseman of the day, considering he owns Greinke. And not a lot of people like to pick on Greinke.
No, but Votto, 517 on base percentage, 1.517 OPS, two doubles, a triple, three homers, six RBIs, eight runs over the last seven games. And you already mentioned the BVP against Greinke. Seven extra base hits there with three homers against him. So that is looking good. Eric Hosmer's also been pretty hot, too. I'm sure he'll go low-owned with the Royals being such huge underdogs tonight. I'm sure he won't even get a second thought. But he is 12 for 32, three doubles, two homers, eight RBIs, and seven runs over his last eight games. One of the best hitting first basemen quietly over the last 7 days.
Yeah, it's...
It's good.
It's pretty good. Couple other guys I think worth mentioning. Lucas Duda against Carlos Martinez. We mentioned his BVP. Mark Reynolds has been absolutely horrible lately. But with Derek Holland on the mound, I mean, if you want to talk about a slump buster, then Derek Holland is the equivalent of the fat girl at the bar at 2 a.m. So don't mind going back to him one more day.
Yeah, bye. Did you mention Edwin Encarnacion? I'm losing my mind here.
No, right? But he's probably one of the hottest hitters in baseball right now.
Yeah, only 3,300 on FanDuel. That's criminal type stuff right there. All right, second base. I mean, you know, Jason Kipnis probably going to be batting leadoff today against Jordan Zimmerman. He is 5 for 8 with double and two triples against Zimmerman. He's incredibly cheap on FanDuel at 2,700. His price actually went down $100 from last night. I don't know. Probably the easiest sales pitch I've ever had to make, folks. But yeah, he's incredibly cheap there and should go there. Also got Daniel Murphy, 4 for 6 with a double and two dongs against Dickey. So those are mine too.
Yeah, on DraftKings, make sure you pay attention to whether or not DJ LeMahieu or Pat Vlahek is in the lineup. Pat's now eligible on at second base on DK. I really like Ronette Odor tonight against Ricky Nolasco, obviously. That's always
must have gotten some new horses lately.
Yeah, he's been hitting the ball pretty well. Trevor Plouffe is min price against Drew Pomeranz on FanDuel, so that's not a bad spot either to go to.
All right, Scooter Jeanette over the last six games, 609 on base percentage, 1.498 OPS. Double.
Yeah, but he kills the Rockies, and three of those games were in.
I don't care. He's hot lately, so we stick with it. And also two others, Dustin Pedroia, pretty good BVP against Odorizzi, four extra base hits, two homers. Whit Merrifield hitting 333 with four doubles, five runs over the last eight games.
Mm-hmm.
All right, third baseman, your boy Nolan, absolutely crushing left-handed pitching this season. The numbers are great. 11 doubles, 7 homers, and 93 plate appearances against him. All the fancy peripheral numbers work there as well. Then we've also got Jose Ramirez, one of the hottest hitters in baseball. Big night last night. 4 homers, 9 RBIs, 7 runs over the last 6 games. Also 2-for-5 with a double and a homer against Zimmerman. Both of those guys top the list, in my opinion.
I think you're forgetting a guy. And I actually wouldn't mind going to this guy on FanDuel over Nolan, just because Nolan's kind of struggled lately. I still think Nolan's a top play. Obviously, you can't discount the season-long numbers, but over the last 30 days, not quite as good as it has been. But Jake Lamb had 2 bombs last night.
He's
now back in Arizona, and it's against Tim Adelman. I don't mind going there. And he's $1,100 cheaper on FanDuel. So.
I dig. I'd like to see if Matt Chapman still exists with the A's now.
He's had a struggling couple of weeks. I think
still
he's like
minimum price though, and the kid's got ridiculous amounts of talent. So.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying that, but I mean he's struggled since being called up. This is a guy that we were excited about, but he's struggled since his call up. Fade of the day for me.
Go ahead.
At third base is Justin Turner. Sure, he can get on base, but he's not hitting for power at all, or driving in runs at all, and he's going to get a lot of talk against Jason Hamill. So.
And that did not stop him from getting the NL write-in vote for the last All-Star roster.
Yeah, how you get 20.8 million votes or something like that is just beyond, like,
people
there was
like
no chance.
People like the Wyndham Rewards.
Fact that he was in Hollywood and somebody pissed somebody off. And,
wow.
Hey.
Bitter much?
No, I actually wasn't, because I still think that Mark Reynolds is going to get in. Because we're going to start seeing over the next like 3 days, we're going to start seeing guys pull out due to injury or something or whatever. So I still think that Mark Reynolds gets in, and I don't like, I know this is a little homer of me, but there's probably not,
you know,
a better story as far as in baseball that deserves to be in the All-Star, because Mark Reynolds it was late signing. And he was brought back on a minor league contract. Like, he was a non-roster invitee. And he made the club out of spring training, obviously, when Ian Desmond got hurt. And then he's had an all-star first half. So, whatever. Your freaking all-star is... your all-star is a freaking middle relief pitcher.
Pat Neshek, baby. He's going to return a haul for us at the trade deadline. He's an all-star in my book.
He is an all-star. I'm not saying that, but that's your all-star. So, and I've got 4 of them.
I'm over teams for the rest of this year. It's all about fantasy from here on out. Again, Manny Machado, I understand he's been struggling, but he's still $3,100 on FanDuel. Weak Twins pitching staff, but $3,100. Can't beat that. You know,
Escobar. I get it's a great discount, but I just think it's a fade.
I don't know. Escobar is hitting .388 with a .430 OBP against left-handed pitching this season. Hamels has struggled more at home than he has in the past. I understand that Escobar is usually not a power hitter, but does get a nice park upgrade here today against a guy in Hamels that could potentially give up some homers.
Yeah, I don't mind it. You can't discount Mike Moustakas either.
Yes.
So. All-star third baseman, final vote winners going against each other tonight.
Yes.
So
very interesting.
And I think he's worth a mention, even though he hasn't been hitting for a lot of, like, he's been hitting for power, but not a lot of RBIs tonight. I think Evan Longoria is sneaky.
Also $3,100 on FanDuel.
Yes. I would much rather play Evan Longoria rather than Manny Machado.
All right. Shortstops, Gene Segura, 11 for 31 with 2 doubles, a homer, 6 RBIs, 5 runs over the last 7 games. Also hitting .353 with a .421 OBP against left-handed pitching. Manaea going tonight. That is good games. But again, I think Segura can get on base a couple times against them, make some magic happen.
Yeah, Segura's been absolutely crazy.
Rubbing their hands together. Go.
Yeah. I mentioned Pat Valaika. He's just been absolutely crushing the ball lately. I would much rather play him over Trevor Story, even though Story's starting to look like he's starting to snap out of it a little bit. 352 WOBA, 150 ISO over the last 30 games versus left-handed pitching. Not bad. Xander's probably not going to be in that lineup tonight for the Red Sox after getting hit on the hand. So we got to see what they're going to do out there. I don't mind Didi Gregorius against Junior Guerrero. And I really kind of like Chris Owings tonight.
Chris Owings. Nice. Yeah, I think it's also Orlando Arcia. Been pretty hot lately over the last seven games. Just under 500 in that span. Big park upgrade for him today. I wish he would bat a little, up higher in the lineup.
Yeah, I do too. But they're not going to mess with them.
You got a lot of people in that lineup that want to do some swinging. So, other than that, I don't really have much. Maybe a Steven Drew. He's really cheap tonight at shortstop, 2,300, going up against the Dick Man. That's really all I got. Yeah, let's leave it there.
Sounds good.
All right. Outfielders, we got plenty of them today. Very interested in... I know it's not going to be the greatest hitting environment, but Giancarlo Stanton and Marcelo Zuna should carry lower ownership than usual. But again, I feel like, Ozuna doesn't have a homer against left-handed pitching this season, which is interesting, but he can make some damage happen tonight with the gaps here.
Have you seen his BVP?
Oh, it's good though, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, anywho, Stanton, look, I did my usual research, not just as much of it, but Giancarlo Stanton tonight against Matt Moore, this could get ugly quick.
Yeah, let's go to some guys that we don't normally talk about. You've got a lot of your normal guys that obviously are going to be in play. I want to talk about guys, you've got your Aaron Judge, Charlie Blackmon, George Springer, stuff like that. I want to talk about Domingo Santana. 483, 267 in that Milwaukee lineup, hitting in the two-hole. I think he's great. David Peralta's back for the Diamondbacks, so I think he's a good option as well. And Mark Trumbo's been crushing the ball. Now, I know I said I don't like Baltimore stack, but he did have a homer last night. How can you forget our favorite guy, Lonnie Chisenhall?
Yeah, I'm a big Lonnie fan.
Pay attention to who's in that Washington lineup leading off. Because Michael Taylor, I think, strained an oblique last night. So he came out of the game. I can't remember what it was, but pay attention to that. Because who's the other guy? Brian. Oh, man, I can't even
what
think
team are you talking about? Oh, Goodwin.
Yeah, Brian Goodwin. If he slots up to that leadoff spot, he's only 2,700 on FanDuel. So that could be a very interesting move depending on what the Nationals do with that lineup today.
Ryan Rayburn, Min Price going up against Dickey, 6 of 11 with a double and a triple against him in his career. It's been kind of proven before that righties do a little better against the knuckleball, so that might not be a bad way to go for cheap. You got Clint Frazier, 2,200, both guys from the Indians, Bradley Zimmer, Abraham Almonte. Zimmer at 2,700 on FanDuel, Abraham Almonte at the bare minimum price. You mentioned Max Kepler earlier. He's at 2,600 against the Orioles tonight. And
Tigers outfielders versus Carlos Carrasco.
Yes. And then David Peralta's back at home. He's only 2,900. I expect him to be pretty popular tonight. He's really?
Yeah.
2,900. He's always been pretty good at home there, especially against the right-handed pitching. So be interested to see what happens. Since Keith doesn't think anything big is going to come of it.
No, I love – I've already mentioned David Peralta. I just don't think he's going to be highly owned.
Okay.
Another off-the-ball or off-the-wall play for you, Jacob Mariznick versus Aaron Sanchez. That whole Astros team has been crushing the ball lately. I know that they kind of struggled against Liriano last night, but Liriano's kind of he has the ability. And I played – this is coming from a guy that played a lot of Liriano. If you played him on FanDuel, you did a lot better than playing him on DraftKings since he allowed 9 hits and 4 walks. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah.
Just keeping it interesting.
And like you said, the Marcell Ozuna, Giancarlo Stanton mini stack is nice. And I don't mind Corey Dickerson either.
Also, too, Sinsoo Choo, Carlos Gomez, still Choo, very cheap on FanDuel, starting to put some solid games together. And then Gomez is 5-for-12 with 2 homers against Nolasco. But wait a minute, Nolasco wasn't even starting, is he?
Yes, he is.
All right, good. All right, never mind. I got myself all screwed up after the Healy thing. Like double-checking everything before I say it. Can't be sounding like an idiot twice, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Oh, Melky Cabrera, too. Been very hot lately. So.
Yes.
Very hot lately. All right. That'll do it. This will be the last podcast until...
Next Friday.
That's right.
Enjoy the All-Star break.
Yeah. Holy crap. I can't wait for that. I just had a 2-day break, but, you know, maybe I'll get some golfing. Who knows? But, yes, enjoy the All-Star break. And, again, go to DFSArmy.com for all your needs. Promo code WIN, W-I-N, gets you 7 free days. Promo code PODCAST. I'm not going to spell it out. If you don't know how to spell it, just look at a dictionary. But that gets you 20% off each month of your subscription. So that's a good way to go as well. So that's it for me. Keith, any final thoughts?
No, not really. Make sure you come if you're in the Dallas area. Make sure you come and check us out at the National Fantasy Football Conference this weekend or next weekend.
Indeed, dear. So, and say what's up to Wags too. I know him.
Yep.
All right. So for the rest, for me, Keith, and the rest of DFS Army, we gone.
Peace out.